I'm Joy Cardine with you on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. It's about 9.5 minutes past 6 o'clock on this Monday morning, January the 22nd. Hope you had a good weekend and hope you got all the snow you wanted yesterday. The roads in Madison were pretty clear this morning. Hope they are in your town too. Here's the issue we'll be considering this first hour of the program this morning. Should smoking be prohibited in cars when children are in the car? You may have heard about this news out of Bangor, Maine last week when the city began enforcing a new ordinance on the books that prohibits people from smoking in their cars if children are present. Perhaps even you have seen this at a stoplight or something, someone smoking away in a closed vehicle with maybe a baby in a car seat strapped in the back seat, and you shook your head at the parent at the wheel. But have you thought that this ought to be illegal? Well, it is in Bangor, Maine now, and it is in a few states as well. Arkansas, Louisiana, Puerto Rico have similar bans on the books, and other states are considering them, including California, Connecticut, and Maine. Is this going too far, or is this type of ban long overdue? We will welcome your thoughts and questions for our guest, who opposes these smoking bans in cars. He says the government needs to quit intruding on our rights and get out of our private lives. He says police have more important things to do than be Nick Narcs. What do you think? 1-800-642-1234. 1-800-642-1234. If you're in Madison, 263-1890, 263-1890, or send us an email with your question or comment to talk@wpr.org. talk@wpr.org. Please include your first name and your community with your email. Gary Nolan is a spokesperson for a smoking rights group known as Smokers Club Incorporated. He is president of the Small Business Coalition, and he was also a Libertarian candidate for president in 2004. And he joins us by telephone. Good morning.
Good morning. Thank you for having me on board.
Yeah, thanks a lot for joining us. What do you think of this new trend, it seems, in smoking bans?
Well, I think this is, once again, a case of making bad law based on faulty current wisdom.
Yeah, why do you say that?
Well, it's happened before. I mean, we saw that Dow Chemical, between the federal government and clever attorneys, went bankrupt over silicone breast implants, and that cyclamates were thought to be carcinogenic, and they were banned. And it's happening with this. The fact is that these kinds of laws are based on the 1992 EPA study that purports that secondhand smoke is dangerous and it causes 3,000 deaths annually. Now, at the end of the day, federal court Judge Osteen vacated the study's findings. He said that it was junk science. He said they cherry-picked their data, and they did. They adjusted established procedure and scientific norms to validate the agency's conclusion and influence public opinion. And while I'll admit his decision was overturned, it was only overturned on a jurisdictional question. Nobody has ever legally challenged the observations from an anti-tobacco federal court judge. So this is junk science. And what's worse is that once we've let them into your car, we have to let them into your home. And eventually they'll be able to say, gee, you know, your son or daughter is a little heavy. You can't stop for ice cream. We'll check their BMI. Let's draw the line here someplace. Because if we don't, we're just going to continue to let the government usurp the rights of parents, abuse private property rights. They're going to waste valuable law enforcement resources. And I don't think we should be handing over our liberty to the state on the basis of faulty current wisdom.
Yeah, well, whether or not we fully accept this EPA study, it certainly seems that most medical people do say that secondhand smoke is certainly not good for children. Smoking can trigger things like asthma attacks in kids, and that can be deadly.
Joy, if your son or daughter were allergic to peanuts, you certainly would not have peanuts around the house. And I think that if you have children who are allergic to tobacco smoke, who have asthmatic attacks as the result of exposure to it, you wouldn't smoke in front of them. It's just common sense. Let's afford other parents the same thoughtful, you know, the same belief in their capacity as we have in anybody else's. You know, if you're allergic to peanuts, we don't arrest everybody who, or ticket everybody who buys peanut butter in a grocery store with a minor child because they might be allergic to it. This is just going way too far.
Yeah. I saw the mayor of Bangor, Maine on a news program, I think over the weekend, and he says that, you know, there aren't going to be any big checkpoints or big crackdowns or huge fines levied for this, that this will be an educational opportunity. What's wrong with that?
Well, what's wrong with it is that they will be issuing tickets. They will be taking money from people who smoke. And at the end of the day, it's the poor and the middle class who, by and large, smoke. So who are we punishing here? At the end of the day, will they have enough money to put food on the table when they pay those fines? And in what other circumstance do we punish somebody for a possible, you know, because we don't know that this child has asthma. And what happens if somebody is 18 or 19, but they look like they're 17? Are we going to be stopped for driving with a young person or somebody who looks young?
We are talking with a guest from a smokers' rights group who is opposed to new state and local laws banning smoking in cars when children are present. The city of Bangor, Maine is in the news, being the first city in the nation to prohibit this, but some states have enacted similar bans or are considering them. Should Wisconsin? 1-800-642-1234, 1-800-642-1234. In Madison, 263-1890. Our guest is Gary Nolan, a former Libertarian candidate for president. I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. You're listening to the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. I'm Joy Cardine, and we're wondering what you think about these new laws that we're hearing about in the news, Bangor, Maine being the latest, actually the first city in the nation, to prohibit people from smoking in their own cars if children are present. Should this be against the law, or is this going too far, as our guest says? Gary Nolan is a spokesperson for Smokers Club Incorporated, president of the Small Business Coalition, was a Libertarian candidate for president in 2004. He says government needs to get out of our private lives and certainly get out of our cars. What do you think? 1-800-642-1234. 1-800-642-1234. In Madison, 263-1890, 263-1890. A little bit surprised we have some open lines on this one. I thought this one would really get your blood boiling a little bit. Carlin in Green Bay is our first caller. Hi, Carlin. You're on the air.
It's Colin.
Yes, go ahead, Colin. I'm sorry.
Well, I'm against this on a couple of different levels. One, this is kind of like the smoking ban that Appleton passed. Where do people get off telling somebody that owns their private property what legal activities they may and may not allow in their business? Now, in the case of the bars, people have a choice about going in there. Okay, now we're talking about kids in a car. Well, my personal feeling is if a parent has to be told that they probably shouldn't expose their kids to cigarette smoke, then maybe they shouldn't have passed their genes on. Now, does this mean we should legislate a law for common sense? No. That's like saying, well, maybe people under 80 IQ shouldn't be allowed to live. I mean, where does it end? Eventually what we're going to see is the social political roles of the United States and Russia polarizing. And it's getting to be to the point where they're telling you every moment of your life what you can and cannot do. And that's not what this country was founded on.
Mm-hmm. All right. Thank you, Colin. What's your reaction to that, Gary Nolan?
Well, it's great to hear the voice of reason. He, frankly, is correct. We have to have a paradigm shift in this country and quit relying on the federal government and state governments to protect us from ourselves. We need to start relying on and believing in ourselves and our neighbors. Most people have the common sense not to expose children who are allergic to secondhand smoke to it. It's just common sense. Smokers are no different than anybody else. By the way, I've got to tell you that the anti-tobacco extremists tried to get to get OSHA to ban secondhand smoke in the workplace, and OSHA couldn't do it because those dangerous chemicals in secondhand smoke are in such minute quantities that if they were to ban secondhand smoke in the workplace, they would have to shut down almost every manufacturing plant in the country. So they refused to do it, that information, that letter that was sent to the anti-tobacco people, is available on the OSHA website.
Yeah. You know, Gary Nolan, you say it's common sense, especially if your child has asthma, but Why do we see this maybe more often than we want to see it? An enclosed car, a baby in the back seat, somebody puffing away, maybe even a couple of people puffing away in the front seat.
Well, first, the enclosed car isn't exactly accurate. Most everybody, in fact, every smoker I have ever known who is in a car smoking cracks the window, and that gives you a little venturi, a vacuum, to suck the smoke out of the car. So that really is, I mean, you just, this vision of a car with smoke, you know, clouding up the windows and hurting people's view out the windshield itself, it just isn't the case.
Yeah, and you're saying that that baby in the back seat, if the window's cracked, is okay.
You know, actually, he would get fewer carcinogens under those circumstances than if he were in the kitchen while Mom was grilling a steak.
Laura in Trempealeau is with us now. Hi, Laura.
Hi. I am one of those moms of a baby, actually, that have pulled up next to people that, I mean, this law wouldn't be for the common sense people. And I agree that common sense people wouldn't do it. But, you know, we have to protect, you know, babies from this. And, yes, we don't have to protect teenagers or anything else because, you know, they probably have a choice whether to roll down the window. But, I mean, we do have to protect our children in the U.S., you know?
Well, so would you have them write tickets for every parent who's riding with a kid that's smoking? Or would you say just the ones who have asthma? Or how would you decide who to write a ticket to? How would you write a law?
I had late-onset asthma, and
uh-huh.
So we wouldn't know. But you need to be able to protect these children. I mean, at least early children. I don't know, maybe under the age of, or under that are sitting in car seats.
Well, what about children who are allergic to peanuts? Should we arrest Mom or give her a ticket if she's buying peanut butter?
If she's trying to feed that peanut butter to the baby, absolutely.
But what if we don't know? What if they're just in the grocery store, Mom and Junior, and she goes over to buy some peanut butter? Do we issue her a ticket, even though we don't know if her children are allergic to peanut butter?
Well, no, I agree. We shouldn't do that. But
well, then we can't do that with this.
Yeah, but Gary Nolan, they're really, a mother would be in big trouble if she knew her baby had a peanut allergy and fed that baby peanut butter.
Of course she would, and we expect that the parent of a smoking parent of an asthmatic child would understand that as well.
What if this parent loved peanut butter, you know, and was addicted to peanut butter and went, you know what, I'm gonna chance it that if I kiss my baby after I have this peanut butter, they might be okay.
But we don't write tickets to people for that, so why would we write tickets to people for this?
I think the mother would be brought up on charges if she brought her baby into the hospital because they were having an allergic reaction because she kissed her baby.
Now you might have something. Maybe you could suggest that legislation be passed that says if you knowingly exposed your child to an allergen that was life-threatening, that you are entitled, or that the law enforcement is entitled to prosecute.
Yeah.
Wouldn't that be a lot better than arbitrarily writing tickets to everybody?
Well, let me ask you this, you know, Gary Nolan, there are a number of laws on the books. Government passes all sorts of laws dealing with safety. You're supposed to wear a seatbelt. Your kids are supposed to be in car seats. There's all sorts of laws that intrude on our personal lives. Why is smoking in cars any different than that?
Well, it isn't, and I'm opposed to those laws as well. I don't think the government has a right to tell you you must buckle up. I don't think I should be threatened with a fine if I drive from my home to the mailbox on the corner without buckling a seatbelt. That should be my choice.
Yeah, what about we hear the argument that all these hospital costs when injuries occur because of people not wearing seatbelts or not wearing helmets, or maybe the baby's asthma medical costs become costs for all of us?
Well, I think you have to look at how it becomes the responsibility of the state to underwrite those excursions to the hospital. Pardon me. If we allowed, this is going to get into a whole other pro. We're going to digress here. Something awful, but healthcare costs would plummet if we got the state out of the healthcare business, allowed employees to buy their own health insurance instead of giving that tax deduction to the employer and letting them make those decisions. And we would find, by and large, that you ended up at a charity hospital or you invested in health care to protect yourself, and then the state wouldn't be responsible.
Yeah, we don't need to digress into that. But let's go on to Aaron in Waukesha. Hi, you're on the air.
Hey, how are you?
Good. What do you think?
Well, I have to agree with our guest. Well, the situation is that I think the parents need to exhibit some sort of self-control, you know, and be a good parent and, you know, make the decision not to smoke around their children. I have a sister and her husband, they smoke, but they do not smoke around their son, not in the vehicle, not inside the house. They go outside and smoke. They endure the cold. You know, that's just the price they pay for smoking. And that's how, the way they look at it. And I feel the same way. I don't smoke around any children. I exhibit some sort of self-control. And, you know, to have them pass this is kind of infringing on our rights, you know, as citizens of the United States of America.
And a reaction, Gary Nolan?
Well, you know, he makes the point, and he makes it well. Just because they smoke doesn't mean that they're mean, cold-hearted, vicious, or errant as parents. Let's give them the same credibility, the same faith and belief in their ability to parent that we do to children who are parents who have children who are allergic to peanuts.
Yeah. Has the train left the station on this one, though? We hear more and more states are lining up to do similar bans.
Well, if we can begin to educate voters about secondhand smoke, if we can find a way to get somebody to investigate where the money for all this is coming from, eventually we can stop the train from going any further. And at the end of the day, that's what we have to do, and that's my job. My job is to educate voters, to get people who are listening to me right now to go find out why OSHA couldn't pass a law like this, to find out what Johnson & Johnson and GlaxoSmithKline have to do with all this, to find out, you know, why are these companies investing hundreds of millions of dollars to pass secondhand smoke laws when they find out that these people make the alternate nicotine delivery systems like NicDerm CQ and Nicorette, they'll start to wise up.
Yeah. So that's the motivation, you think, is the profits to get people to quit smoking is causing these types of laws?
Oh, Abby, Johnson & Johnson, through the Robert Woods Johnson Foundation, has literally given hundreds of millions of dollars around the world to get smoking banned in public places. Even the American Cancer Society has taken money from them. The Chronicle of Philanthropy reported that the American Cancer Society was, and this is a quote, more interested in accumulating wealth than saving lives. They were constantly looking for money, and they sold their logo. American Cancer Society sold their logo to SmithKline Beecham for $1 million. You've got to trace the money. If I take a dime in tobacco money, everything I tell you becomes tainted. Well, if they take money from those organizations, they should be tainted as well.
We're going to check news from National Public Radio and Wisconsin Public Radio, and then I hope we can take many more of your calls reacting to, asking about these new laws, new ordinances, including one in Bangor, Maine, the first city in the nation to ban smoking in cars when children are present. But there are a number of states that have enacted similar bans and many others that are considering them, including California, Connecticut, Maine. I just saw on the wire last week a New Jersey lawmaker saying that he was going to introduce a similar ban in New Jersey. What do you think? Should smoking be prohibited in cars if children are present, or is this going way too far, as our guest is arguing? Gary Nolan, spokesperson for Smokers Club Incorporated and a libertarian candidate for president, or was in 2004. This is the Ideas Network. You're listening to the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. I'm Joy Cardine. It's coming up on about 6:36 on this Monday, January the 22nd. And we're talking about the latest trend in smoking bans. Smoking bans have hit the road. Last week, the first city in the nation, Bangor, Maine, started enforcing an ordinance that prohibits people from smoking in their own cars if children are present. Bangor may be the first city, but there are already some states that have enacted similar bans, including Arkansas, Louisiana, and Puerto Rico. And there are other states that are considering them, including California, Connecticut, and Maine. Should smoking be banned in people's cars if there are children in those cars? Well, what about homes? At least seven states already do prohibit or restrict smoking in the homes that have foster children. We'll talk a little bit with our guest about that coming up. Our guest says, enough is enough. The government needs to get out of our private lives, and we are wondering if you agree or disagree with him. What questions you have, 1-800-642-1234, 1-800-642-1234, in Madison, 263-1890, 263-1890. Gary Nolan is a spokesperson for Smokers Club Incorporated, president of the Small Business Coalition, and he was a Libertarian candidate for president in 2004. Our next caller for him is Patrick in Milwaukee. Hi, Patrick.
Good morning. I think I agree with the guest that the government is too present in our private lives in a lot of ways. But, you know, it's clear to me at least that smoking, exposing a child to secondhand smoke is a form of abuse.
Why is that?
Well, because it's harmful for the child's health.
How do we know? Where did you get that information?
I mean, to be perfectly honest, sir, I'm just convinced.
Sir, I'm not. I believe that you want what's best for children. I really believe that. What I'm questioning are the studies that are telling us that secondhand smoke is such a horrible and dangerous product. Personally, I think you're right. People should not smoke in front of their children, if for no other reason than because watching your parents smoke is an influence that may lend you to the smoking addiction as well.
Right.
I think it's just good common sense. But secondhand smoke is actually less dangerous than grilling a steak. You get more carcinogens from grilling a steak than you do from secondhand smoke.
I mean, if that's what the argument turns on, then I guess I understand your position, even though I disagree with it. But, I mean, if, you know, are you telling me that if you were to be convinced that secondhand smoke was harmful for children, that you would have the opposite view on this issue?
Absolutely. Absolutely. If I believe that secondhand smoke contained enough of those dangerous chemicals that it was harmful to anybody, I would say you shouldn't be allowed to smoke in front of anybody. Because your liberty ends at my nose.
I see. Yeah.
But I've looked at the research, I've looked at where the money is coming from, I've looked at the results, and I know and I believe that secondhand smoke is not the horrible danger that it smells terrible, but it is not the dangerous carcinogenic product that the anti-tobacco extremists are trying to tell you it is.
Yeah, well, I know that after states and cities have enacted workplace smoking bans and prohibited smoking, say, in taverns and restaurants, that sort of thing, that there have been medical studies on the employees of those establishments. And I don't know, things like the carbon monoxide in their bloodstream is down. They have fewer respiratory ailments. They're, at least according to those studies, not the EPA study that you have issue with, they're in better health now than they were when they were in the smoke-filled establishment.
Well, actually, there was a study done covering 1990 through 1998 done by Kuhneman and McFadden. They were two independent researchers. They got no money from the tobacco industry. Astoundingly, they found out that in those states where they banned smoking, in those communities where they banned smoking in public places, myocardial infarction rates did not drop. Neither did cancer rates. In fact, in some cases, they were the same. Some cases, they went up just a little bit. In other places, they went down just a little bit, but nowhere did they see any changes, not in California, not in New York, not in Florida, nowhere. A lot of times, these studies are pretty faulty. For instance, we keep hearing about a study that I think it was in Montana, where they banned smoking in one community for 6 months, and the anti-tobacco extremists came out and said, look at this, in 6 months, the heart attack rate dropped 50%. What they didn't tell you is that the same thing occurred about 3 or 4 years prior to that with no smoking ban. They didn't tell you that the rate of heart attacks rebound in the second 3 months. They didn't tell you that they never separated smokers from non-smokers who are having heart attacks. The studies were junk science.
Thank you, Patrick. Melissa in Oconto is with us now. Hi, you're on the air.
Hi. I want to say that I just kind of disagree with the guests, because I wrote a paper on this for school a couple semesters ago, and what I found, the damage to the child totally outweighs the parent's decision whether or not to smoke. And the fact is that there are parents that smoke in the home and in the car, because my ex-husband and his wife are both, you know, two-pack-a-day in-the-house smokers, and I can't do anything about it. That's why we need laws to protect these children and keep them from harm. You know, you're talking about their lungs. These are things that are going to affect these children even out once they're out of the house and gone.
Can you tell me what chemical it is in secondhand smoke that caused all these problems?
I can't for sure, but I just want to encourage people to do their own research and start looking at pediatric journals and things like that online, because there are a lot of things that happen to children because of this.
I just want to know, if you've done a study, how you did it without looking at the chemicals in secondhand smoke and the amounts of those chemicals.
It was just a 1,000-page or a 1,000-word term paper. It wasn't anything in depth. But the stuff that I did look at, as far as the medical journals, you know, kids lose their hearing because they get ear infections.
What I believe has happened here is that you relied on somebody else's research, and at the end of the day, you can't do that.
Yeah.
If you're going to rely on somebody else's research, you've got to look at both sides, and you also have to do your own research. And I've looked at both sides, and what I've discovered is that the chemicals in secondhand smoke are so minute that when they test you to see if you've been exposed to it, they can only test you for nicotine, because, and that, by the way, is not a carcinogen. Because the other products in secondhand smoke are also already in your system from carpeting, excuse me, and other manufactured products. They have no way of knowing.
Yeah. Well, Gary Nolan, I didn't do my own research on whether secondhand smoke is harmful to children, but all of these lawmakers that are passing these laws are looking at the body of evidence right now and concluding that it is not good for children. And the ear infections, the asthma, the other things. So I guess I'm wondering, all these lawmakers are just coming to the wrong conclusion.
First, tobacco is the enemy du jour. And I'm going to tell you right now that if under the circumstances of the free market, if people are educated and people quit smoking and the tobacco companies go out of business tomorrow, in my opinion, that's not only a good thing, it's a great thing. I'm not pro-tobacco. I'm not even pro-smokers' rights. What I am is pro-personal property rights. And I understand that the money behind this, the money to influence legislators, you know, all those commercials you keep seeing on television for secondhand smoke? That's no grassroots organization. They didn't come up with those millions of dollars because people were screaming that we have to stop this. This is money from Johnson & Johnson through the Robert Woods Johnson Foundation and GlaxoSmithKline, whose products go through the roof when they get these smoking bans passed.
Let's take another call. Thank you, Melissa. Joshua in Menasha. Hi, you're on the air.
Hello. I wanted to mention that with my own experience, I found secondhand smoke to be addictive, and I think they should make nicotine illegal, not smoking itself.
Secondhand smoke was addictive? You went around sitting in bars hoping to get a whiff of somebody else's cigarette?
No, I went through what I assumed was nicotine withdrawals and had cravings to be around people who smoked.
You are the first person, and I've done everything from the Today Show.
Sorry, go ahead.
I've done radio programs, newspaper interviews, television shows. I've never heard of anybody being addicted to secondhand smoke. That's interesting.
Yeah, I'm sure several of your listeners would probably have the similar experience as well.
Well, smokers who have quit that then smell the smoke might get the urge to smoke again. Is that what you're saying, Joshua?
No, I've never smoked in my entire life.
Yeah. But anyway, nicotine is the addictive substance, Gary Nolan, but that's not supposedly the carcinogen that's involved.
Right.
Yeah. Thank you. I'll listen off the air.
Yeah, thanks a lot. We're going to take a short weather break, and then we will continue talking with Gary Nolan, spokesperson for Smokers Club Incorporated. President of the Small Business Coalition, was a Libertarian candidate for president in 2004, talking with us about why he opposes the latest trend in smoking bans, the trend to ban smoking in cars when children are present. We welcome your questions and thoughts about this at 1-800-642-1234 in Madison, 263-1890. I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. I'm Joy Cardine. It's about 12 minutes before 7 o'clock, and we're talking about whether or not smoking in cars should be prohibited if children are in those cars. We heard the news that Bangor, Maine has recently enacted an ordinance that prohibits this. Arkansas, Louisiana have enacted similar bans. Other states are considering them, including California, Connecticut, and New Jersey. Do you think Wisconsin should? 1-800-642-1234 and Madison 263-1890. Our guest certainly doesn't. He's against these bans. They are, he says, based on junk science and an intrusion into our personal lives and rights, and that government, especially police, have better things to do than become nick-narcs enforcing smoking bans in cars. Connie in Portage is with us now. Hi, Connie. You're on the air.
Hi, good morning. Good
morning.
I'm a little confused on this issue because my husband and I smoked for 40 years, and we quit 10 years ago. I'm against smoking, but we had 8 children. None of them smoke. They hated our smoking so bad that none of them smoke, and none of them, and they're in their 40s, have ever had any health problems. And I smoked in the car all the time, but I held my cigarette up to the car with the window open. But so I'm a little confused on the issue. I sort of agree with him.
Well, that's her own research, Gary Nolan.
Well, as I pointed out, when smokers are driving down the street in their cars, they always have a window cracked, and they try to ventilate that smoke, and they do it even if they're by themselves. Let's face it, smoking is a bad habit, a terrible addiction. It smells horrible. It's not good for you, the smoker. Anybody who is smoking, who has the wherewithal to do so, should quit smoking. Let's hope that everybody does and the tobacco industry goes out of business. But let's not rip apart America's freedom. Let's not take children away from parents. Let's not destroy liberty in the name of doing that.
Well, I said I was going to ask you about this, too. In the same article that was looking at these smoking bans in cars, it was mentioned that, well, what's next, homes? Well, yes, smoking is banned in some homes with foster children in Texas, Oklahoma, Alaska. Some states have laws for the foster children or homes with foster children that homes or cars must be smoke-free for 12 hours before a foster child enters that home or car. What do you think of that?
Well, nonsense. Obviously, the magical properties of secondhand smoke, unlike any other smoke-bound carcinogen, never seem to get out of the air. It defies logic that people would buy into this. And if we allow them to start telling us that you can't smoke in your own home, then what's to stop them? And by the way, Banzaff, the guy who's been leading the charge on secondhand smoke, said on CNN himself, America has just given me the right to regulate their food. You've opened the door, the nose of the camel is in the tent, and they're coming after you. It's going to be too much fat in your diet, your child's BMI is off, we have to protect the children. Shall we, you know, issue a ticket if you pull up to Dairy Queen with a tubby kid in the car? You've got to stop it someplace. Now's the time to do it.
Artis in Delafield is with us next. Hello, you're on the air.
Hi, I am not a smoker. My mother was a smoker, you know, for several years, a four-pack-a-day smoker, quit cold turkey when I was about 11. One of the things I do distinctly remember now, my mother didn't open the car windows when she drove and we were in the car, and I can tell you it was stifling. It was horrible. I have distinct memories of that, and I'm not that old. Secondly, I sort of see... I think discussing the harm, you know, part of the problem with smoke, period, why it's a cancer causer, and you can call an oncologist if you like, is that it's an irritant. And some, you know, carcinogens, simply you're breathing in a warm, smoke, irritating, you know, thing. And if you want to argue that one, then, you know, explain to me why so many asthmatics in the presence of secondhand smoke, have an asthma attack. I think that you're on the wrong track, and I don't see this as any different than demanding that, let's say, children under a certain weight or height be in a booster or a car seat, and I'll take my comments off the air.
Well, first off, once again, it's a rarity in Wisconsin. We find somebody who rode around in a car with the windows up. Everybody I know that smokes cracks the window. They have a little Venturi, it draws the smoke out, because it doesn't smell good. But let's assume that that your memory is correct. I have no reason to doubt it. The reason that secondhand smoke is not the dangerous carcinogen that the anti-tobacco extremists allege it to be is that there's nothing in that product, that is in sufficient quantity to cause cancer, to cause earaches. In fact, if you look at some of these studies, in one study in California, they allege that secondhand smoke causes breast cancer. And this guy had to twist the statistics so much that if you read it, it appears that if you smoke, you reduce the likelihood of getting breast cancer. The fact is these studies are all pretty peculiar, and almost every one of them, those people are getting money from GlaxoSmithKline or Robert Woods Johnson.
Thanks, artist Risha in Gays Mills. Hi, you're on the air.
Good morning. The point I would like to make, I agree with your guest. I think this is totally crazy. But, I mean, the next step that I could see people going to is making it illegal for a pregnant woman to smoke. Talk about secondhand smoke.
I think that's happened, hasn't it, Gary Nolan?
Well, it probably will happen. I do know that, for instance, with a new secondhand smoke law that they passed in Ohio, the fine for having a cigarette in a bar can be more severe than smoking marijuana.
That's crazy.
It seems to me that this has gotten way out of hand.
Yeah, I was just looking at this article. It says judges determining parental custody and visitation have, in more than a dozen states, ordered a parent not to smoke around a child. In Ohio last year, the custody of a six-year-old boy was given to his father solely because the boy's mother and her fiancé smoked. So, you know, it goes beyond smoking in cars.
If I can just get those people out there who are listening to me today to do a little homework, to do a little research, go look at the Robert Woods Johnson Foundation and see where they give their money, see to whom they give their money. Take a look at, go to the smokersclub.com website and look at some of the links and find out what it is that OSHA said about secondhand smoke. Find out what other exposure, you know, you're exposed to greater numbers of carcinogens from all kinds of other products. Let's do a little homework here.
Thanks to Risha. Marilyn in Milwaukee is with us now. Hi, Marilyn.
Hello. First of all, I'd like to start out by somewhat agreeing with the speaker, your guest. I think that the government is too much in our lives. However, on the other hand, I'm an elementary school teacher, and there's a part of me that resents your guest's attitude that research that is on the opposing side is bogus, whereas his research is verifiable and the authoritative commentary. The evils of smoking, if you will, whether they be supported totally by research, I believe that the harm, not just to children, but to anyone, of smoking, of secondhand smoke, is so strong. The harm is so great that I certainly feel that the commentaries of many of the guests, whether they can cite their page and paragraph of research, is too many people, I believe, are coming from personal experiences with the deleterious, is that the word, effects of smoking on children, secondhand smoke on children. And to go back to an earlier comment by your guest, we do not spend our life in a home filled with barbecue smoke. And to say that it has less of an effect than a barbecue, than the smoke that comes from a barbecue, I feel is somewhat erroneous or misleading.
Yeah. We don't grill steaks, 24 hours a day.
That's true. We don't sit in a car 24 hours a day, but we do go into homes that are carpeted, and those carpet fibers are giving off formaldehyde 24 hours a day. Look, the reason that I don't trust the research of, for instance, anybody who's gotten money from those two major pharmaceutical companies is because it's as biased as my opinion would be if I took money from Big Tobacco. Let's look for neutral ground. Let's look for researchers that aren't taking money from Big Tobacco, that aren't taking money from pharmaceutical companies that sell Nicorette and Nicoderm and other products, and let's see where that lays. And I think then you'll find that, in fact, I am correct.
Yeah. And Donna in Menominee. Hi, you're on the air.
Hi. I actually think that the smoking ban in cars is probably a bad idea because I think it would be an enforcement nightmare. However, on the subject of cigarette smoking generally and secondhand smoke, I don't think that the research is necessarily biased just because it's funded by the drug companies, and I don't think that the campaigns are useless because they're funded by the drug companies. I mean, if we want independent research, we need to raise taxes and fund it through the National Institutes of Health. And, you know, nobody seems to be willing to do that. Until they are, we're just stuck with what we've got.
Yeah. Well, actually, here's the problem.
We only have a minute to go.
Excuse me. The problem here is that there is plenty of research on the other side. But because we can't take tobacco money to get the word out, because we can't take millions of dollars from, say, some cigarette manufacturer to run ads on TV, it's very, very difficult for us to get the truth out there, to get people to ask these questions. The other side have that money, and they're getting that money from those companies, and they run their ads on TV constantly, and they tell this lie over and over and over until it's believed.
Yeah.
You have access to the World Wide Web, folks. Let's do some homework. I promise you, I wouldn't be on here doing this if I believed that it was in the interest of big tobacco.
We appreciate your time. We're out of it. Thanks very much for being with us.
Thank you.
Gary Nolan was a Libertarian candidate for president in 2004. Thanks to Leo Duran for producing the hour. This is the Ideas Network.